Welcome to another Shadrick Siding Podcast. I'm JP Shadrick. And of course, the Jaguars continue a long run of road games this week in Indianapolis against the division rival Colts. And it's a Colts team that didn't start off like they expected, but rallied for a win over Tennessee last week. And Andrew Luck is now on the injury report as well. There are reports of a rift between the front office and coaching staff. Where does this Colts team stand? We'll visit with the longtime voice of the Indianapolis Colts, Bob Lamy, to get the inside scoop on where the Colts stand here in 2015. And a little bit of Jags-Colts history, since he's called every single game in the series history. But first, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the National Football League, and the Jaguars Women's Association is doing their part to help out with a special event. Our first guest today is Michaela Bradley, the wife of Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, who talks about the upcoming Meet Me at the 50 event and the family life supporting the Jaguars head coach. The Jaguars Women's Association is hosting Meet Me at the 50, benefiting In the Pink. It's presented by PRI Productions October 15th, a Thursday night. 5:30 is when the doors open. And part of the Jaguars Women's Association is Michaela Bradley, the wife of Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. It's always good to see you, Mick. How are you?
Thank you for having me. It's great. Great to be in the studio.
This event is a long time coming. You have a whole group that works planning this event coming up. How long has this been going on, the planning for this?
You know, I think we've learned each and every year that to accelerate the planning and do it a lot sooner is always a beneficial thing to do. And we've honestly been meeting since last spring, and we're lucky enough to have PRI Productions a part of it in helping us pull together the best show possible for October 15th. So,
how many are involved in the association, the Women's Association?
You know, really, it encompasses all the women in the building, whether it's spouses, significant others, female staff, you name it. If you're female, you're part of it. You may not know it, but you're part of it. But, you know, and it's what everybody wants. How they want to embrace it is up to them. By no means do we say they have to, but, you know, for them to just be a part of some of the events that we do throughout the course of the year is up to their discretion of how much they want to participate. But we have about 100 women that actually showed up for our kickoff dinner, but I know there's a few more that just couldn't make it. So it's awesome.
Michaela Bradley is with us. The Susie Colbert is the keynote speaker from ESPN. How did you come about getting Susie to come down here for this?
You know, we've got a great wide receiver coach named Jerry.
I heard of him.
And Jerry Sullivan and she are friends from the past of just being in the industry for so long. And he said, you know, she's a pretty special gal that I think that would participate, you know, and she sure did and was extremely excited from the day that I called her and really tried to make it work with her current job. And I think she's going to come in and do a great job.
How often have you interacted with her?
You know, it was actually never really. I saw her at the owner's meetings and I was going to yell from the hallway, but I thought I'd refrain from that. I didn't want to scare her. So I actually reached out to her just via email and our conversation just went from there.
What are you expecting from her on this night?
You know, I'm just the time and what she's been in the industry of broadcasting and journalism and so on, her knowledge of the game is pretty solid. And what she brings to the table for us being a female anchor and representing the women's side of things, but also her attachment and her correlation with the cancer piece is Stuart Scott being a dear friend of hers. I think she really steps on the platform to support his foundation right now. And we're lucky enough to have her here supporting cancer as a whole. And given it's a breast cancer related event, I think we really don't want to lose sight of the fact that cancer as a whole is becoming a huge issue in the world.
Not only Susie Colbert, but a lot of other things going on this night, too.
It's always fun, you know?
Yeah. You guys always have great events, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're usually a part of it, and we're going to miss you that
I know,
night,
that's so okay. Next time.
I think that we're gonna reel you in a lot sooner than what we tried this time. But, you know, we've got the Q&A. We've got, actually, to start off the event upon check-in is actually going to be B-Eazy will be here.
Good
cranking
band.
Out the tunes,
yeah,
so everybody can come in and be, filtering through the silent auction, and you know the Cadillac Lounge will be up there so they can scope and set their Christmas list, you know, for whatever vehicle they see in the corners. And then it will proceed to out on the stage, Meet Me at the 50.
Michaela Bradley is with us. You can go to jaguars.com/50, right? That's the
slash
website.
50, yes sir.
And sign up for registration Thursday, October 15th, 5:30 in the US Assure West Club. We're looking forward to that. I got off the field now. The head coach Gus Bradley, of course, you got four kids. play in high school football now.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. You got football happening. Gus is here a lot. The kids are running around everywhere, all different ages. How do you keep up with all this stuff?
You know, Michaela? What? Thank God for iCal, and keeps me in check sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't always come from the cloud. But, you know, it's just day by day, and first and foremost is our kids, and just making sure that they feel supported in what they're doing at school and at home. We have great family support, and, you know, we're just really, really fortunate to be here.
Carter, Anna, Eli, and Ella. And
don't forget the two Bulldogs.
Oh, what are their names?
Lucy Blue and Josie.
Lucy Blue and Josie.
Two English Bulldogs that have not missed a meal.
How do you name those dogs?
You know what? Gus, just like he named our kids, he got to name the dogs. I'm not sure where I fall in. I'm definitely not at the top of making decisions, I don't think. But, oh well. We'll give him that shot.
Carter is how old now?
He's 15.
He's the oldest
sophomore.
One. Yeah.
Yep. And then we've got Anna, who's an eighth grader, 13. Eli's 12. And Ella's 8.
All
so we're busy.
All over the board.
Yes.
Carter's playing football, right?
He is playing football. He's fortunate enough to be Providence High School quarterbacking, doing the best job he can to lead each and every week.
So let's get your emotion on this now. You're here at Everbank Field on Sundays or on the road watching the Jaguars play. Your husband's out there on the sideline compared to your son on the field. Is it a similar emotion, different? Do you scream at the top of your lungs? Are you a nail biter? What's your emotion during
a
game?
I've actually been asked that question a lot. A lot of people say, well, you're so calm during the kids' games, and Carter in particular. My goal for him and my wish is always that he stays healthy, you know, as any player in the game. But it also, you know, you just want him to have a great experience and be surrounded by great athletes that help, you know, just really with the game and enjoy it and create the memories in high school. It doesn't determine what's going to happen for us. So I just enjoy the moment with him and want to see him have fun and thrive and just continue to grow to be a great young man.
A little different pressure with when Gus is going through it, I guess. Right?
That's a whole different story right there. But it's all great. It's you know, again, you want to see that growth and the continuing to get better opportunity for the Jaguars. And you know, at the end of the day, he walks through the house and he is still a dad and a husband, and so we don't lose sight of that.
Michaela Bradley is with us, wife of Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. That's the interesting part of this. He's here for hours upon hours every day and then comes home. And is there much football Jaguar talk, or is it family stuff?
It is definitely family stuff, yeah. And we respect that. I think our kids will drill him more with questions and hey, Dad, why did we do this on this? Where I refrain from that. However, you know, he gets it enough from the kids in a joking way, or you know, but he's receptive to it and keeps conversation open. But it's pretty light in the sense we don't focus much on it, and we just enjoy the time at home when he gets there. So
let's give some time to the other kids too. What other sports are they playing right now?
You know what? Our daughter is 100% into basketball, and so it's fun to see her grow and love the game each and every year. And Eli is a football player, a basketball player, loves them equally. And Ella, we're still figuring her out. She's just a little gym rat, just riding along in the car right now. So, but she likes to dabble in a few of her own sports. So it's fun.
Michaela Bradley is with us. I think we've talked about this story before on some kind of air somewhere about how you and Gus met. You're from North Dakota, right?
North Dakota.
Went to North Dakota State. You're both alumni of North Dakota State. But he's from Minnesota. You're both in college. How did you guys meet? How did that work?
Well, ironically, he was actually recruiting. He was a GA at the time and, you know, was recruiting my brother. And
were you in school or were
you
graduating?
I think I was in high school, but that's where I first crossed paths and saw that guy was one happy individual. And it stuck with me. and then I proceeded to go to college while he was in Colorado. He had come back unbeknownst to me, and my brother and I were in a location in Fargo, North Dakota. And he said, "You'll never guess who's back." And I said, "Who?" And he said, "Gus Bradley." And I said, "I have got to talk to that guy because I have got to figure out what is so great in his life, you know." And I give credit to his mom for raising a man, you know, in a good way. So,
why did you decide to go to North Dakota State?
I think it was family tradition. My dad went. My mom was there for a portion of her postgraduate schooling. It was where my brothers played football. It was the common college in our family, and our house was full of green and gold. So, I didn't waver. I just stay true to our family tradition.
Now, real questions. What's the best bar in Fargo?
Oh, gosh. It's changed so much. I'm not sure. I think Old Broadway might have been the bar of choice back in the day of it. I'm not even sure if it's still there, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's...
Of course, I only went one or two times.
Oh, no, of course. You're studying all the time, right, Mick? That's the way
always.
That works.
Always. I worked really hard.
That's what you did. Now, what did you study at NDSU?
I was in exercise physiology and got my degree in an offshoot of exercise physiology, corporate community fitness, and it's fitness has been a part of my life since I was in college and still to this day, actually. So I teach group fitness in the area, and I enjoy it. Yes,
What does that involve?
I crank the tunes, and I can do a 64 count like nobody's business.
Very good.
So it's fun. It stays, you know, and I think everybody has to have their identity of something in their life that, and I feel like giving back in the fitness industry is my way to help other people to feel good about themselves, just to kind of re-energize themselves each and every day. And you walk out of there a little taller, a little sweatier, and, you know, a little happier. So it's just a great environment.
Michaela Bradley is with us. What's the most difficult part of being a coach's wife?
You know what? I guess you are your husband's biggest fan, and you just hope and pray, you know how hard they prepare, you know how hard the athletes prepare, and you want to see the successes come their way, which it will. And sometimes you don't always have the words per se to make things better, but they always know that I know that Gus knows I'm his biggest fan, and at the end of the day, we're connected as a family, and that's what's most important. He prepared me, I think, for this industry more than I knew what to prepare for.
Really?
In a sense, yes. And he just basically said these different things. Are you independent? Can you raise children by yourself? Do you have a lot of girlfriends? But he was 100% spot on what he felt was important in order to survive, I guess, in this crazy, awesome, wild journey.
And I guess you answered correctly to all
of them, right? I was 24, I said yes, yes, and yes, but you know, I don't know how smart I was at the time.
You moved the family all over, Fargo to Tampa to Seattle to Jacksonville, cross country, what, four different times?
Yes.
The kids were younger then, of course, a lot of those moves, but have they weathered this thing okay, all the traveling that comes with this?
You know, they have done a phenomenal job in how they've handled it, and I think it's also how we present it. And if we show excitement, they show excitement. And honestly, if we had to move now, it might be a different story. I think anytime you get in the lives of a teenage mind, it's completely different. But before, they embraced it because they knew it was a great opportunity for their dad. And even though sometimes the maturity of their minds aren't where we think they can understand, but they understand it. And they've done a phenomenal job. And people in Jacksonville have done a great job embracing our children.
Let's go through each city. We're just a few more minutes with you here, Meg. We could talk all day.
I know, we could talk all day, JP.
Best part about living in Fargo?
Oh, gosh. It was home. It was, I mean, you know, that you hear oftentimes Minnesota nice, North Dakota nice. I am telling you, there are some awesome people up there. And it truly was home. It was where I was raised. I still bleed a little bison green and gold, and there's some just great memories. Most of our kids were born there, so it's very special to us.
Culture shock. You moved from there to Tampa, Florida.
Hot. Extremely hot.
Really hot.
It was so hot. But again, great opportunity. Gus's first chance in the NFL. I mean, who wouldn't be excited?
If you like rain, you'll love Seattle.
Yes, loved it though. Nature, green way of life. Educated individuals with all the different corporations up there. Just a very wonderful, wonderful experience in Seattle.
And the big break here in Jacksonville, what's the best part of this city?
I'll tell you what, there's some passionate fans here. And Gus and I and our family feel the love and the support and the genuine side of people that really want to see them do well, see us do well. And you can feel it everywhere you go. There's a lot of great things. And I'm looking forward to what the future holds.
Michaela Bradley, wife of Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, with us. Thanks for your time.
Always good
to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Our thanks to Michaela Bradley for her time earlier this week. And yes, there's a little bit of energy in that household. Now to week four in the National Football League. The Jags and Colts meet at 1 o'clock Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. Every team in the division is at 1-2. And the start in Indianapolis is not what Colts fans are used to. But for the voice of the Colts, all is well so far. It's time to go behind enemy lines and visit with the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Bob Lamy has been there, I guess, since day one. Bob, how are you?
I'm pretty good. You know, it's we're not getting the rain you are. We actually have some sun out. So it's been a pretty good day.
Well, the Jags and Colts meet again, the division rivals meeting for the first time this season. Jags haven't won there. I haven't won against Indy in a while. What do you make of this matchup coming into this? You know, coming into to week four now. Jags coming in young, but getting a little bit better. The Colts have some older position, you know, skill type guys on offense. Andrew Luck now is on the injury report. What do you make overall of this matchup for Sunday?
Well, anytime you have a division game, it's a tough game. I don't care what division you're in or who's playing who, what the records are. And if you look back through our history here, Jacksonville has played us as well in Indianapolis as any team in the division, even better than the other two, actually. We always have tough games here. They always go down to the wire, and we don't always win. And, you know, it's one of those things. We know how good Jacksonville is. Throw the records out. I mean, all of us are 1-2. Somebody's going to win a big game this weekend and take control of the division.
Bob, there's a lot of reporting going on out of Indy about tension between the front office and the coaching staff. Is that a real thing? Is it overblown? What do you make from the inside?
Well, it's one of those things that Chuck Pagano answered several weeks ago. I'm not sure sometimes people hear what the spoken word is. He said that, you know, as in every situation, sometimes you agree to disagree, but there's no rift going on. You know, these guys have questions. You know, do we go after this guy? Do we go after that guy? And everybody's got an opinion. Is there a rift? I would not think so.
Bob Lamy is with us, voice of the Indianapolis Colts, and then now there's some concern over Andrew Luck's shoulder. He's on the injury report. Pagano said this week it's just soreness. How much of an issue is this, Bob?
At the moment, it's not an issue. Yeah, he didn't do much. I think they're listing him as limited again today, but there's still 72 hours to go, and he heals pretty quickly. And like most players in this league, 99% probably, you know, if you don't play them, you're going to have to tie them in a room somewhere and tell them they can't play. I think the same thing is true with Andrew. He wants to play, and, you know, if he's ready to go, he'll go. And right now, I'm always the kind of guy that bets on the positive side in this situation. So I'm thinking Andrew will play, but, you know, we've got 72 hours.
Bob Lamy is with us, voice of the Indianapolis Colts. This has not been the normal offensive output that you expect from an Indianapolis Colts team a few games into the season. Why is that? Why has this not been the best of offensive seasons up to this point?
Well, I think there are two terms you use. One is penalties. We are one of the most penalized team in the league, which we've not been before, and turnovers. Now, we're last in the league in the turnover ratio. We're minus -7. And when you combine those two things, you're going to struggle. Around here, we're talking, we lost to Buffalo and we lost to the Jets. Taking absolutely nothing away from those two teams, we beat ourselves. Turnovers, penalties, you know, foolish plays at foolish times and some penalties that we certainly could have done without. So, you know, we have to get better inside the building, and we will.
Andre Johnson has been around the division, around the league for a long time. Frank Gore is, what, 11 years in now? It's a couple of older guys to bring in to an offense. How have they adapted here in Indianapolis?
Well, Frank's becoming a folk hero here. It's been a long time since we've had a 100-yard rusher. I think it was 2012, and it was Vic Ballard.
Wow.
And before that, you got to go back a ways to Joseph Addai. And Frank has done a really good job. You know, he fumbled at the goal line against the Jets. He took that very personally and came out last week in Tennessee. He ran very hard, ran for 86 yards and two big touchdowns. So he redeemed himself. I think he's a great player. Andre Johnson is caught in the mix. We have so many talented players that, well, in week two, everybody complained that tight ends didn't get any throws. So last week they got their share, and I think kind of half-joking, Chuck said, okay, well, wait a minute. Who didn't we throw to last week? Oh, we'll go to Andre this week. I think you have to wait your turn, and I think that's exactly how Andre is taking it. He had a huge 40-yard play on Sunday against Tennessee, wiped out by a penalty. And he'll get his share. He'll be fine.
Defensively, you know, this is what is the identity of this defense? Mathis is back. You got Lowry in the back end. He had a couple of picks last week. What do they do defensively? What is their identity?
Well, right now I think they're all searching for identities. I mean, you talk about new players. Dwight is new. He came over from Atlanta. He had the two picks last week. We've also got Kendall Lankford, who came over from St. Louis. Robert Mathis played a little bit against the Jets, a little bit against Tennessee. I don't know how much this week, but he's finding his way back from an Achilles injury. Trent Cole has been banged up a little bit this week. If he plays, you know, he's missed a game, so, you know, we'll see what happens there, but he's got great potential. I think, and it was Jeff Saturday going into our Ring of Honor last week, mm-hmm. He said, you know, it takes three or four games for guys to get fully acclimated to their teammates. And that's the phase we're going through right now. And I think a lot of teams in the league are. Even the really good ones. I mean, New England's going through some transitions in the secondary up there. They found a way to win some ball games. We've lost a couple. And, you know, we've got to get our game straightened out and move forward.
You really don't find out a lot until November, later in the season, what a team's really going to be. It's a little early, this early in the season.
Well, you got to remember, this is a 16-game schedule. It's never too early. In past years, so when Peyton Manning was here, and even when Andrew's been here, we've gotten out of the gate pretty quickly. And it makes things at the end of the year a little easier. The last 2 years, we've been 0-2 coming out of the gate, managed to, I think we beat Jacksonville last year in Game 3, and this year we beat Tennessee. You can't just push the button, though. As I said, our division is a whole lot better this year than it was last. And you can't just throw your helmet out there and think you're going to win. It takes a whole lot more than that. And this division inside it is as tough as any division in the league. We've got to play better, cut down the penalties, and cut down the turnovers.
Bob Lamy is with us, the longtime voice of the Indianapolis Colts. In fact, you've been there since they moved from Baltimore in the Mayflower Vans in 1984, minus a few seasons in the 90s. How long do you plan on doing this, Bob?
My wife says until I can't walk anymore. She doesn't want me at home. I don't know. I really don't know. My health so far is good. I enjoy what I do. The older you get, the longer it takes to do certain things. And preparation takes me a little longer than it used to. Thank goodness for the computer. And, you know, I don't know. At some point I'll wake up and go, okay, that's it. But right now that particular day has not dawned.
You missed a game last year. Was that a scare for you?
You know, that was very interesting. Yes and no. Yeah, when everybody says something about your heart, you know, you get a little bit scared. I think it turned out to be honest with you, faulty equipment. The reading here at the complex was very high, and when I got to the hospital, it was normal. So I'm choosing to believe it was a bad reading.
Bob Lamy is with us, the voice of the Colts. You've seen pretty much every Jaguars Colts game. In fact, every single Jaguars Colts game. What's your most memorable Jaguars Colts game?
You know, I was thinking about there are a couple. One of them is the very first time we played in 95 when Aaron Bailey ran a kickoff back for a touchdown and the Colts won down there. We've had some incredible games. I mean, what was it, 2 years ago when you beat us on an 80-yard pass play in the last minute of the game?
It was 2012, yes.
Yeah. That was an interesting game. Josh Gobe has beaten us with a couple of field goals that I think they're illegal. He must have had some kind of win. 58, 59.
59,
he's
in fact
a great kicker. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to going to Pittsburgh and facing him again. But the Jaguars and Colts have played some really, really good football games. And that's what it's all about. And that, again, to me, it's a division thing. You get into the division, you just don't know what you're in for every given Sunday. We know up here what Gus Bradley has done down there emotionally and getting guys to buy in. And that's what it's all about. And you got a player from us, Sergio Brown, who I really miss him in the locker room. He's a great guy to go to, and he's a great player. And so, you know, this division is getting closer and closer. Everybody wants to say it's one team against three. That's a falsehood.
Bob Lamy is with us, voice of the Colts. You've had a lot of postseason games, of course, in Indianapolis. Peyton Manning there, Andrew Luck now. The what's the biggest, best game you've had in your career with the Colts?
It would have to be the playoff game before the Super Bowl win when we beat New England here and had a great comeback in the second half. It was very interesting. We win that game, and we know we're going to the Super Bowl, and just driving around town after the game with people celebrating in the streets and fireworks going off and that kind of thing. It was a very, very special night. It was one of those nights that you won that game, and you just had the feeling that no one was going to beat us in the Super Bowl. And we had to fight the Bears, but the Colts won the game. And it was just, everybody goes back. Everybody you talk to goes back to that game and what it meant to the city, what it meant to the team that year. And I was thinking about that, and even the second game, to me, was going back to 1995. We got to the AFC Championship game, mm-hmm. and we lost in Pittsburgh on the last play of the game. And, you know, it's surprising you remember a loss. But coming back to Indy on the flight, there was, you know, there wasn't any laughter on that flight. We got back, and the pilot said on the airplane, "You've got a few people waiting for you." Well, it turned out there were 10,000 people at the airport.
Wow.
And that's when we all knew if we put a team together, this town would support pro football in a big way. And we've been fortunate. We've had two great general managers here. Bill Polian was one, and now we've got Ryan Grigson. You've got a product of the Bill Polian era in Dave Caldwell.
Yes.
He's going to do the same thing down there. It's just something we saw it that day coming back. We had one player that walked through the airport that day and came back on the plane and said, "I thought we lost." The welcome was just incredible. And that's, as I say, that's when we knew if we supply the city with a winner, which the two GMs and the owner have, then this will be a good town.
Bob Lamy, voice of the Indianapolis Colts. Great to visit with you, and good luck to you this weekend.
I know you don't mean that, but I appreciate you saying it anyway.
I'm just being friendly, of course. We appreciate it, Bob.
All right, anytime.
Our thanks to the voice of the Indianapolis Colts, Bob Lamy, and Michaela Bradley, the wife of Jags head coach Gus Bradley, for their time this week. The Jags and Colts kick off at 1 o'clock Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indy. Radio coverage starts at 10 a.m. with the Publix tailgate show on 1010XL in Jacksonville. And Jaguars radio network coverage starts at noon with Countdown to Kickoff. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week on the next Shadrick Sighting Podcast.